Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And today's date is June the 26th, 2019. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. To address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects, to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of our young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends BSL HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. It's also brought to you every week by Skyton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, book magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, speaker bureau management, and editing and publishing. And that contact information, for further information, you can contact ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Now, as you know, most of us who join us on a regular basis, those of you who do join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number for our studio is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. We don't have any scheduled guests today. This has been one of the few weeks that we've had in the last several weeks where we haven't had a guest to bring you here on our talk platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact. But I think we do have a very, very interesting subject matter to discuss with our listening audience today. And many of you are very, very aware that there is a national movement going on across this country as it relates to local, state, cities, and counties passing what we would call renewable energy portfolio standards. And there recently has been a 100% clean energy bill passed in New York City, but advocates calls it a partial victory. Now, this particular article has been written by Robert Walton with the Utility Dive online publication, dated June 20th, 2019. The New York Assembly passed on Wednesday a climate change bill which now awaits the governor's signature. The bill is a three-way agreement with the state assembly. The article went on to say, if you will bear with us to our dinosaur here can catch up with our broadcast here on this platform, Blog Talk Radio, where we are broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital. We're streaming also on Facebook and Twitter. Now, as many of you may be aware of this show, every week we attempt to try to bring to you a number of topics relative to the renewable energy and energy field. And we specifically target our African American community. Now, many of those who have been talking about the subject of Bill 40, which was passed by the former Honorable John Conyers, who served on Capitol Hill for many years around the issue of reparations. This is one of the areas that I feel very, very strongly that there needs to be a groundswell of conversation in the Black Talk Radio community to get the education and information out to our communities about the impacts of these renewable portfolio standard laws and what they truly mean, because they are pocketbook issues. Now, looking at, as I indicated, the bill is a three-way agreement between the Senate, State Senate, Assembly, and the Democratic Governor, Andrew Cuomo. The latest versions includes changes made earlier this week to cut some pro-labor provisions and give less funding towards social justice efforts. New York lawmakers are expected to vote today on a climate bill that would set the state on a path towards carbon neutrality, slashing emissions by 2050, while also focusing on energy investments towards disadvantaged communities. Yeah, well, we've heard that song here in the District of Columbia and how that plays out. Lawmakers reached a deal on the Climate and Communities Protection Act over the weekend. New York is expected to approve the bill, while the CCPA would go further with the Green New Deal than Cuomo proposed in January. Activists say the legislation remains a partial victory, as some social justice provisions and work protections have been removed. Well, there's a number of things that have been removed from the Omnibus Act of 2018, which was the bill that 100% renewable portfolio standard law, which was just passed here in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, which to the detriment to the African-American community. And we will go into those matters and those topics later on in the show. The legislation includes a dramatic cuts to greenhouse emissions and requires that utility sectors generate only clean energy by year 2040, putting the state in a ratified company, but advocates say it does not go far enough as they hope on other issues. New York Renews, a nonpartisan coalition and major advocate for the legislation, called a partial victory for New Yorkers. The fight for true climate justice demands transformative change, and we will bring that fight until our communities win. The groups say the final version of the bill weakens the original intent to directly invest resources into vulnerable communities. And while there are requirements for state finance energy projects to pay union wages, the group says the bill removed mandates to secure specific work protections. Job growth and training includes in provisions and additions of the Climate and Community Protection Act, which are essential to a just transition from fossil fuels. Cuomo is expected to sign the bill soon, as he signed other three-way agreements with the state's legislative chamber within a week of their approval. Liz Moran, Environmental Policy Director for New York Public Interest Research Group, told Utility Dive, adding that his name is on it despite the mixed feelings the group celebrated. We won the strongest emission reduction standards in the country. New York renews its said statement. If passed, New York should join a list of states and other jurisdictions to constitute 100 clean energy requirements, including California, Nevada, Hawaii, Washington, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. In a blog post, Natural Resources Defense Council held an agreement on historic nation-leading climate legislation by adopting a bill that aggressively fights climate change while also prioritizing equity. New York is raising the bar for states in the face of federal backsliding on climate change, the group said. The law sets the economy-wide target of 85% emissions reductions from levels 1990 levels to 2050, while also looking to offset the remaining through carbon sinks. Utilities will need to supply 70% renewable energy by year 2030 and 100% carbon-free by 2040. The law also requires 35% of the state's clean energy programs to go to disadvantaged communities. Programs originally allocated 40% of the funds to go to environmental justice organizations, according to Moran. New York, like other states, is looking for to decarbonization as a potential boost for the state's economy, even as clean energy displaces other workers. Now, this article that I have just read to you succinctly talks about what the new renewable portfolio standard law is in New York that has just been passed. The American Association of Blacks in Energy, ABE, will be hosting today on the through a webinar low to zero by when. This webinar will address a number of issues surrounding the passing of legislation state by state. Unfortunately, other than yours truly, who's asking the question? And this is the question that needs to be asked. What is the real economic impact of renewable portfolios standard law having nationally on the African American community when we begin to look at the issue of who's paying for it, these renewable portfolio standard laws, who's benefiting from them? Now, from that standpoint, if we can all agree that there needs to be an ongoing conversation I will, in fact, share with you my statement, which was prepared by yours truly, the positive, as CEO and founder of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. On June 14th, we testified in front of the D.C. Public Service Commission on the Manassas, at the town hall meeting on the Manassas, which is the modernizing the energy delivery system to increase sustainability here in the nation's capital, here in Washington, D.C. Now, my statement went on to say, good evening, Chairman Willie Phillips, Chair and Commissioners Beverly and Gillis. Thank you for providing this town hall meeting on the Manassas modernizing the energy delivery system to increase sustainability. My name is Ronald Bethay, President and Founder of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, with our business focus on solar and renewable energy industry. The selling points to our vendors in working with the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative are the following: a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar workforce development training programs to bring down the under and unemployment rates among young African Americans locally and nationally, to educate the black community locally and nationally about the impacts of global warming, how it disproportionately impacts communities of color, and the need for more environmental education programs in the black community. The Positive Change has developed such a program and platform with our weekly podcast radio show entitled Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. We have produced over 125 radio shows through Blog Talk Radio, which we have been able to reach thousands of listeners locally, nationally, and internationally through the internet at positivechangepc.com. Looking back on interviews since I've started the show, I've had such guests as Betty N. Kane, former chair of the D.C. Public Service Commission, and Tommy Wells, director of the Department of Energy and Environment. I have used my radio show to provide an opportunity for many of the grantees who were selected by the Department of Energy and Environment for as grantees for fiscal year 17-18. This is just a very short list. Ms. Anna Schulman, founder of D.C. Sun. I've had on Mrs. Corey Ramsen, the vice president, Go Solar Now Programs, and Mrs. Eucena Riviera, D.C. program director for Solar United Neighbors. We've also had the privilege of having Mr. Dante King, director of engagement and for Groundswell. We just recently had Mr. Coleman, vice president of Groundswell. We've had Lillian Abrams, president and founder of Peer Consultants. We've had Grid Alternatives Mid-Atlantic. We've had Mr. Herb Stevens, New Partners Community Solar Group, formed by Nixon Peabody Law Firm. I have conducted these interviews along with attending numerous community meetings, speaking with D.C. residents in all eight wards of the city. I've talked with many of the stakeholders from the public and private sectors, such as PEPCO, government agencies, like Mr. Ted, the director of DCSEU, as well as solar company representatives, which have numerous of individuals on the ground doing the work. I am opposed, now this was my statement, at the town hall meeting, as well at the October 9th oversight hearings that were held by Councilwoman Mary Shea, who oversees environment and transportation here in Washington, D.C. And this was the statement that I read into the official record. I'm opposed to the passing of Bill 22-904 in its present form without the following amendments. The Marion S. Barry and John Wilson Reparations Clean Energy Amendment Act. Let me repeat that for my listening audience. The Marion S. Barry and John Wilson Reparations Clean Energy Amendment Act. $1 million for marketing and advertising and community engagement programs targeted to black-owned media, which targets D.C. African-American residents. PEPCO's replacing of the funding for consumer and education outreach. There was originally $2,700,000 in the electric transportation program for the District of Columbia EV program. That funding has been removed before this final bill was passed by the Public Service Commission. The question becomes, who moved it? Was it moved by the Public Service Commission or was it moved by PEPCO? This is a question that we have raised, have not been able to get answers to. The reason why I am providing this information as I'm going along, I'm giving you some idea of what is going on in two cities that affect the African-American communities nationwide. One thing for sure, whatever comes out of Washington, D.C. and New York City has a tendency to go around the world and be, especially the nation, and be piggybacked off of for legislative purposes. Now, DOE needs to refund the D.C. solar neighborhood community education outreach program for D.C. residents by the Department of Energy and Environment. And what I am referring to is the organization Solar Neighborhoods United, which was started in this city by Mrs. Anna Schulman, and she's now in 9 states as well as the District of Columbia, where they have set up a very, very unique model, which I think from all of the pilot programs which were originally funded in 2017-18, they had the best model for D.C. residents, which allowed the homeowner to own their system from day one if they met the 80% area median income for D.C. residents. And we have talked about those income requirements for the Solar for All program numerous times on this show. We provided that information, which 90% of the African-American community will qualify for this program. Now, we looked at the fact that $1 million of workforce development funding was should be put in place for D.C. residents that are interested in becoming PVS installers, be trained in electrical wiring, PVS installers for electric vehicle infrastructure in D.C. as well as becoming energy advisors for D.C. residents. These programs could be administrated through the D.C. Infrastructure Academy, which is located at 2330 Pomeroy Road, Southeast Washington, D.C. We did, in fact, have Dr. Hughes, who's Director of Employment Services for Washington, D.C., on our show talking about the D.C. Infrastructure Academy. Okay, passing of the Property Assessed Clean Energy PACE for residential homes in D.C. because D.C. has already passed commercial PACE for commercial use in Washington, D.C. PACE is a government financing policy that classifies energy saving upgrades as public benefits like sewer, road extensions, etc. This enables 100% of hard and soft projects to be funded by private industries and repaid via surcharges on the property tax. Payback periods match the equipment life, often of 20 years. Financing is based on the value of the property, which allows the homeowners to borrow between 20 to 35% of the homeowner's property value. This eliminates the issue of credit and equity in property. Residential PACE has also been passed and implemented in several counties in California. Now, many of the suggestions, these are the actual minutes that were, and the information that was read into the record by yours truly back on the 14th of June at the town hall meeting held by the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C. Well, you would say, well, what does this have to do with New York City? Well, you will find I've had the director of programs from New York City on this show to talk about the issue of the renewable portfolio standard law, which had not been passed at that time, but he did talk about what low and moderate income programs that had been implemented in New York City to assist low and moderate income residents obtain PV systems on their homes, and what community solar projects that have been put in place in New York, and they have, because you have a large number of large high-rise buildings which are older governmental-owned properties, how they've tried to implement community solar programs for those targeted communities in certain boroughs of the city. We will be discussing this issue later on today on the webinar, which will be held by the American Association of Blacks in Energy, which will be talking about this issue. Now, that webinar is scheduled to begin at 2 and goes to 3 p.m. today. So I think that our show today will set up those who are listening who may have the time on their hands to follow up and be a part of that. Now, they have scripted their, of course, their webinar, and most of these organizations, that's what they're doing. They're having individuals who they've identified to be quote-unquote professionals in their area of expertise to talk to the community, but they're not talking to the actual community. Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America, we are the ones who actually try to disseminate this information to the masses of the African American listening audience by way of Blog Talk Radio, which many of you know. If nobody knows that you're here, then you got an issue. The issue is you don't get enough listenership or enough people logging on to your platform to gather this information, which creates a very, 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 very dangerous void of information around this renewable energy field, renewable energy impacts, because in Washington, D.C., when Mayor Bowser signed into the law on January 18th of 2019, the Omnibus Act of 2018, it triggered the financing of the Green Bank. And I've talked about Green Banks on this platform numerous times. You don't have a tremendous amount of these banks in place, but you have Connecticut, you have Maryland, you have the District of Columbia, you have a few that have popped up around the country, but this is going to be an ongoing process as this country gives up for the financing of renewable energy infrastructure in this country. Right here in Washington, D.C. alone, according to a report that was commissioned by Director Tommy Wells of the Department of Energy and Environment through a private consulting organization, the District of Columbia has $1.8 billion worth of renewable energy infrastructure, which has to be put in place in your nation's capital over the next 10 to 15 years. But this greenback was supposed to be put in place to help leverage the private sector money with your money. And let me be clear of what I mean by your money. In the signing of the first Renewable Portfolio Standard Law of 2016, by also Mayor Bowser at that time, there was a 50% renewable portfolio standard with a 5% carve-out for solar energy. But because there is a shortfall in the District of Columbia, the local utility, which is Pepco, has been charged with what they're calling fines. If they cannot purchase these, their actual credits, energy credits, because of those who have PV systems on their rooftops who are ratepayers with Pepco, where Pepco has been charged with that, they must buy these energy credits directly from their customer base inside the District of Columbia. Well, there's a problem with that. This, number one, you don't have enough homeowners, you don't have enough businesses, you don't have, whether they be profit or nonprofit, district government agencies or federal government agencies, with enough PV systems on their rooftop that Pepco can buy these credits from their ratepayers to offset the shortfall. So in the District of Columbia, Pepco had to write a check in 2016 for $15 million because of the shortfall of DC-based solar. In fiscal year 2017, that figure jumped up to $26.6 million. That's a substantial jump from $15 million up to $26.6 million. In compliance fees, which are being passed on to the ratepayers, because the law allows Pepco to pass these compliance fees on to their ratepayers. They're writing a check. Well, this money is all going back to the District of Columbia. D.C. government is making the law, setting up a system which has generated some of the highest, what we would call, extracts of energy credits in the country. They're trading anywhere between $350 to $400 as we speak since she signed the bill in January, because it had taken a substantial drop in fiscal year 2017. Many people, major companies all over the country are rushing into the District of Columbia because it's a game changer. I've had a recent guest talking about this phenomena on this platform. We're going to be sharing this information, looking at more of this information, doing the webinar if they provide us with an opportunity to, in fact, be able to ask these questions to these legislative specialists. And it seems to be everybody's into, let me follow the leader. Well, following the leader and having webinars is great, but you're only talking to people who are insiders inside the industry that will even be aware that these webinars are going on. This is the problem that I have with the energy industry. They could care less about educating the masses on what's impacting their pockets every day because their checks are good. They're private sector, okay? Gas, water, and electricity. These are all utilities, folks. These are all pocketbook issues. We're going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back on the airways of Blog Talk Radio over our platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. 2948 as we take a pause for the calls here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
I hear the song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you?
Hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know you can join us by calling in at 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us by calling in to our show on 646-668-2948, and you'll be joining us over the platform of Blog Talk Radio, where we're broadcasting live from our nation's capital over the World Wide Web, streaming over Facebook and Twitter. Now, that call-in number, once again, 646-668-2948, and please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our show so we'll be able to talk to you about our topics of discussion. Now, U.S. sees a record solar installation at 2.7 gigawatts in the first quarter, but changes remain. This is in a very, very interesting report where you'll be able to get that information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You'll be able to basically look into this specific article. But before I do that, I'm going to continue our conversation about, we talked about municipalities, state, county, city that are passing renewable portfolio standard laws. Lawmakers passed Maryland Clean Energy Jobs Bill and extend community solar pilot until year 2024. Now, this is a article that you will be able to locate by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Please click on our news, and events. Now, this particular article was authored by the Montgomery County Green Bank. It was published on June 12, 2019. In our March 2019 edition reported the excitement on the pending Maryland Clean Energy Jobs Act, SB05/HB1158. We are thrilled to report that the State General Assembly has passed this important legislation and it has gone into law. The Maryland Clean Energy Jobs Act updates the state's Renewable Portfolio Standards, RPS, which is currently requires 25% of renewable energy by year 2020 to require that half of Maryland's energy come from clean energy sources by year 2030. The bill will mean a boost for solar, wind, and renewables, but may also affect rates and energy costs. Read the analysis. Now, in addition to General Assembly extended community solar pilot project grants until year 2024, which will provide more time to design and implement projects, we expect combined action to significantly increase both demand for renewable energy and the overall supply of clean energy available to meet Maryland's needs, as well as a boost of interest and demand in Montgomery County. Now, this is supposed to be great news, but the news is when you go to these information sessions, you find very few African Americans affiliated, working in these arenas, are even aware of what of these programs that's being rolled out. It has been very, very disturbing to me when you reach out to try to get these officials from these green banks. I reached out to the director of the Green Bank in Montgomery County. Well, he has declined to come on this airways to talk about what they're doing in Montgomery County. I understand. He has the right to do that. But I also have a right to talk about the fact that what impact will this have on the large immigrant community in Montgomery County, which you have a large number of Africans from the diaspora, from the African nations, as well as you have a large Hispanic population based in Montgomery County. Most of them you will find that they're in the Aspen Hill, Silver Springs area. When you begin to look at where the high density population is in Montgomery County, how are these folks who are of African descent, how is this impacting on them and their local utility bills? Well, I can speak for Prince George's County because you will see that you have a clean water fee attached right to your tax bill. You will find out that you have implemented in Montgomery, Prince George's County, a transition neighborhood initiative, who I've reached out to Mrs. Erica Betterman, who is the Director of Sustainability in Prince George's County, and asked her to join us on this platform, which she's declined. We've also contacted the Clean Energy Center for the state of Maryland, which is located at Sustainability Center in Annapolis, Maryland, for their director, and we've gotten the same type of response. They don't have time for this platform. So what we have done is we have continued to work to reach out to these individuals, give them the opportunity to speak. If they decline to speak, then we let the community know they have declined to speak. And it's your dollars, tax dollars, is paying their salaries. See, this thing cuts two ways. I have the privilege, and what I did do, we followed through with what we say we're going to do. I recently contacted, through my congressional representative in the state of Maryland, Carden, who's the representative who represents me in Prince George's County. I was at a lobby day, which was set up by the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton through the National Action Network. This was back in January. Now, I'm going to read to you the actual response that I got from Mr. Carden's office, because what I did, I contacted them about the TNI program. Now, the TNI program is set up, Transition and Clean Energy Grant Program Overview, denies fixed income PG County residents the opportunity to apply. And we're talking about, you can't apply for the program if you don't live in a specific zip code. To me, that is, I don't know whose short-sightedness, but you can't necessarily look at a zip code and determine who can afford to live there and who can't afford to live there. But the long and short is this. This was a response from June Carden, okay? Subject, transitioning TNI, Clean Energy Grant Program Overview, denies fixed income to Prince George's County residents opportunity to apply. This is to Mrs. Shannon Fry, legislative correspondent for Ben L. Carden, U.S. State Senator from Maryland, 509 Hart Senate Off Building, Washington, D.C. And by that way, that telephone number, for those who may be listening that would be interested in calling up and following up, is 202-224-4524. Hello, Mrs. Spray. I'm a constituent of Senator Carden. I just recently voted for him in the recent midterm election. I was recently on Capitol Hill on November 14, 2018. Attending the National Action Network Annual Legislative Policy Conference. I was there when Senator Carden spoke at the policy conference. I attempted to speak with him about the zip code issue, but he left the area before I could reach him. I also walked over to your offices. I spoke with you about the following zip code issue in Prince George's County. I've spoken to several times to Mrs. Dana Travis, my Prince George's County Council person in District 2. She has not been able to talk to me or anyone else in my neighborhood while we cannot apply for the Transition Initiative Program because we don't live in the zip code starting with numbers 207. We pay the same taxes in 209 as they do. Would someone from the Senator Carden staff look into this matter and get back to me? Now, there's a link on my website that you can click on, positivechangepc.com/TNI-clean-energy-grant-program-overview. That is the link. Once again, that link is positivechange.com/untategorized-clean-energy-grant-program-overview. TNI Clean Energy Grant Program denies fixed income PG residents to apply for opportunity to because of their zip code 209. Background. The Transition Neighborhood Initiative focus on supposed to be neighborhoods in Prince George's County. Let me get back to the area that I was just viewing here on my website. But the long and short of this is that we have been able to bring this information to the senator's attention, staff's attention, and we were able to get a response from that, which we will continue as soon as we are able to pull that information back up for you. And we will do that because we're going to take, as we say, another pause for the cause, and we'll be right back while we're trying to pull up some information for you here on the platform of Solar Now.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And most of you know who join us on a regular basis. You know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And you'll be able to join us here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, as we were sharing with you some information, we were still waiting for this information to load here on our computer here. But we were talking about the issue about the Transition Neighborhood Initiative in Prince George's County. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this issue up, because this Transition Neighborhood Initiative program, if you live inside zip code 207 and you meet the 60% area median income, you'll be able to apply for a $10,000 grant. If your income exceeds this 60%, there's a $5,000 grant. But if you're trying to get a PV system on your roof and you don't have the credit score of a 650 or greater, and that's the magic number. Most of our communities, and that's the magic issue, most of our communities are credit challenged. It wouldn't be for bad credit, there would be no credit. And that's real. So we have to look at the issues of the cost of living. We have to look at the issue of the large number of baby boomers who are now retired that reside in the DMV market area. Look at the responsibilities of those who are retired who have children who have moved back into their homes and they suffer from a disease called grown and ain't gone because they can't buy a home, so they're back with their parents with the family that they started when they thought they were grown and gone. Now, I hope that you got that. Let me repeat myself. Many of the baby boomers, we suffer from a disease called they're grown and they ain't gone because those children who you raised, who moved out, got married, or whatever they thought they were doing, we knew they were chronologically and biologically numbers by age grown, but they couldn't afford to buy a home, so they moved back home with their parents. Therefore, they are grown and not gone. Okay? Now, we try to make it a play on this show so everybody can get it. Because, you know, everybody's not a rocket scientist and everybody doesn't have initials on the front and end of their name. But people can listen, and it's something called if common sense. But if common sense is common, then everybody have it. And I've come through life understanding that that's not something that you can always give folks credit for, especially with all of the distractions that are out there. Now, we were talking about the Transition Neighborhood Initiative. And this is the actual response that I received from Senator Cardin's office. Hi, Mr. Bethea. I received a response from the Congressional Research CRS regarding your request for information about the reasons why certain zip codes are not included in the Transforming Neighborhood Initiative and the possibility for further funding opportunities related to clean energy and efficiency programs in Maryland. Please note, after reading the full application, CRA was unable to locate documentation regarding the reasons for zip code exclusions. However, following contact information is provided so that you may ask the public official directly at Prince George's County's Office of Central Services Sustainable Energy Program, 400 McCormick Drive, Suite 2081, Largo, Maryland. The email is transitioningcleanenergy@co.pg.md.us. Phone number 301-883-6455. Additionally, you may want to consult with the CRS Report Renewable Energy Efficient Incentives, a summary of federal programs, which I have attached for you. The 62-page report describes federal programs that provide grants, loans, and guarantees and other and indirect incentives for energy efficiency conversations and renewable energy, conservation and renewable energy. For each program, the report provided administrating agencies, authorizing status, annual funding, and program expiration dates. Lastly, the Maryland Administration, MEA, manages the program designed to help attain Maryland goals in clean energy, renewable energy, climate change, and green jobs. MEA Maryland residents implement energy upgrades and install renewable energy information regarding renewable residential, including rebates, grants, and tax credits that can be found at the following address: energy.maryland.gov/residential/page-incentives. Happy New Year. Of course, this was in January when, in fact, I got this response from Senator Cardin's office. I wanted to read this into the record to let you know I'm one who has taken this all the way from local to county to my state to representatives, trying to get some answers, because we do what? Live every day in a home that we pay taxes for, and my wife here in Maryland, and we're getting nothing back in return when we ask for some assistance. Everybody will have a day you will call retirement. And when that day comes, your income will go from whatever it was to something called fixed income. Unless you have businesses that you have set up and designed that will continue to take care of you and you train someone to run those businesses after you can no longer work in those businesses. So this is the reason why we do what we do every day, because a fair ain't got nothing to do with nothing. That's something where you go and get your car and take your grandson or grandchildren or whoever to get on a ride and pay somebody to go on a merry-go-round or Ferris wheel. Fair does not exist in the vernacular of doing business in America. Fair does not have anything to do with it. And if you don't demand something, you don't get a damn thing. We try to make it plain here on this show. So we're going to take a pause for the cause because it's 12 noon straight up. We've got about 30 more minutes with our show today. As I indicated, we did not have a scheduled guest, but we hope that we do what we do. And you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. And as we take another pause for the cause, we'd like to take time to let people know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and development companies. To address the effects of high energy costs affecting our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment of young black men and women locally and nationally, to educate the black community locally and nationally about the impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. It's also brought to you by the black sports legend BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to right now over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from your nation's capital, over, as I've indicated, Blog Talk Radio, and streaming Facebook and Twitter. It's also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And for contact information, you can contact Scotton Communications Network.com. You can contact Scotton Communications Network.com. Once again, we want to thank you for joining us for this segment. And we will, as we say, take a brief pause for the cause. And we'll be right back here on.
Here's a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
song worth singing.
I got
you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know, we were sharing a number of topics and issues around the issue of renewable portfolio standard legislation and how it's being passed all over the country. And the question is, what does it really mean to everyday Black folks who go to work every day or get up and go about their everyday lives, and you got gas, water, and electric bills, which are necessary to maintain human existence? Here we are being charged with paying into compliance fees into a pool of money that will benefit developers. Now, many of the programs that are being out here that's been put out by the Department of Energy and Environment in D.C., I know because we have had on this platform all of the grantees since the inception of the Solar for All program. And each grantee received a grant based on a different model, which was a pilot model, which they submitted their proposals back in fiscal year for 17-18, and they received grants. Now, from looking at the standpoint of ownership of the system once it's installed in your home from day one, looking at the costs associated with that, looking at how the program was set up to educate the residents around the issue of how to go about securing a PV system and how to form a cooperative, hands down, DC Neighborhoods United had the best program. Well, I found out recently at the solar conference that they held here in Washington, D.C., that they were no longer going to be funded by the Department of Energy and Environment. I've reached out to try to get someone to come on this platform to talk about this, but I understand that it's a sort of touchy situation because you don't want to say anything to alienate those folks who make the decisions on whether they're going to give you some money, but when you've got the best program out there doing the best for the people, and they've decided because they didn't want to put any money in marketing and advertising to get the word out on the program so you couldn't get back the response to the program that you're administrating because you don't have advertising marketing dollars, then you get cut off even though you're making inroads and people are benefiting from the program. I've had a Mr. Frank Coles and Ms. Trudy Settles on my show talking about the benefit to them, and they took advantage and applied to the Solar for All program, and it took them a little more than a year to get through the process. Guess what? As soon as they got through with the first rate and they reapplied for funding, they're no longer being funded, so they lost the $2 million grant. I understand some other people were picked up, but the issue is, who are these grantees? Do you have a computer in your home? Can you get to DOEE's website? I've been on it. I have not been able to find out who those new grantees were. When these programs are going to be launched, when are they taking applications for these new programs? See, all of these things go into the conversation that won't be held from 2 to 3 today. And if you ask me how I know and why I know, it's because I've been there and watched how these webinars are set up. They are set up basically to provide information to people who are already working in the industry. So if you're not a part of the industry, you won't even know about the webinar if you're not on the email list. So we go and we listen to the comments that are made by people in this in the know who are in the industry. But if what they're talking about doesn't have any value on helping their customer base, which are the residents where their utility company has the responsibility for providing utilities for that market area, you know, I would say that community engagement and outreach is something that's way down the priority list when you begin to look at these utility companies and look at what they're actually doing to people, because they really don't give a cat's rear end whether you know or not. That is why we created this platform, Solar Now in the Future. And when I began to look at the fact that the 360-degree impact of this industry as it ties into the what they would call 5G technology, which is called the Internet of Things, as it ties into cybersecurity issues, as it ties into artificial intelligence, well, IU people have to be trained in STEM education. Well, here in the District of Columbia, they've decided to not retain the STEM director for the Department of Public Schools here in the District of Columbia. So there's a big push to try to make sure that we are able to get the District of Columbia not to backtrack on their cybersecurity to protect the grid. Now, this particular article was published by Talib Kareem, who's an attorney here, who has an organization called stemforus.org. And I strongly recommend that you go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and scroll down. This was published on the 24th of June by stemforus.org. And you will be able to hear his testimony. STEM for Us recently testified on the value of boosting the cybersecurity training to protect local power grid, and the comments were made at a town hall meeting convened by the District of Columbia Public Service Commission. STEM for Us offers its recommendations on the modernization of the district energy delivery system to increase sustainability, Manassas. In addition, STEM for Us CEO Talib Kareem urged the commission to act boldly to protect the historically disadvantaged communities in the District of Columbia. Specifically, STEM for Us proposed that the adoption of the Marion Barry Rule for Energy Modernization. This initiative would guarantee the D.C. low-income residents currently being treated but threatened by gentrification are given 50% of the jobs and contracts from all grid modernization projects. Well, I will tell you, Brother Kareem, that's not going to happen, because we have approximately about five companies, African-American companies, licensed to do business in the District of Columbia as it relates to solar installation and development companies. Okay. Also, Kareem brought up a very important issue. District of Columbia Public Schools. STEM for Us calls on the D.C. Public Schools Chancellor to evaluate, not eliminate, the post of STEM Education Director. STEM has learned that the public schools intends to eliminate the position of Deputy Head of STEM Education. Currently, it is the position that leads all STEM education programs for public school students and teachers in the district. We believe this is a mistake. Many schools in the district around the nation, such as Baltimore Public Schools, are expanding their investment in STEM. This move by the D.C. Public Schools appeared to be a step in the wrong direction. The current head of the D.C. Public School STEM Education is Kim Cherry, who is also served as a STEM a board director for STEM for Us. Over the past years, Kim has ensured that teachers and the students have benefited from annual STEM festivals and other programs. Additionally, she has and her team has produced stellar professional development training for local STEM education. Kim is an exceptional educated administrator and a strong ally of expanding STEM education opportunities to people of color and women. Contact Chancellor Lewis's freebie and urge the district director of STEM education to evaluate and assist chancellors, the chancellor, superintendent for the level position. Further, we recommend that Kim Cherry, an exceptional STEM education administrator, be maintained at this post. This is the kind of stuff that people don't have time to follow up on. Who knew about this position that the public school system had, a position the deputy head of STEM education? Now, you definitely need somebody at the on this arena. This is the future, ladies and gentlemen. This is the future, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need to be backing up. We need to be stepping up. And as Brother Kareem elegantly wrote this article and put this information out, I'm grateful to him for providing this information so I can disseminate this information on to you. But we've got some serious issues when you pass in renewable portfolio standard laws and all these things that are supposed to be happening when you begin to peel back the layers on the onion, then you'll know why people are crying. Because there are a lot of things that are going on that should not be going on, but they are going on. Now, you know those who join us on a regular basis. You can join us at 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us at 646-668-2948. We're going to be taking another pause for the calls. We're going to come back and we're going to cover one other area.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, those who do, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as we indicated to you that we would be talking and sort of shifting gears here in our program, because as I indicated to you, I'm going to be joining a webinar put on by the American Association of Blacks in Energy between 2 to 3 today and listening to this webinar. I'm going to see how they formulated this thing, if they even allow people the opportunity to get raised questions to these people that they are bringing on as experts, because it's truly disturbing to me that everybody thinks they can go online, or we put it out there, we were up on the internet, we had a webinar. Well, who in the hell knew you had a webinar? Nobody knows you're there. And this is the problem when you begin to talk about the energy industry. Everybody likes to operate, it seems like it's a code of silence. Well, it can't be a damn code of silence when you're sending utility bills out to people every week, and most people can't even read their damn utility bills, so they don't know what they're being charged. They just know they got to pay it, and you're going to cut it off. Now, we try to make it plain here. USC's record solar installations at 2.7 gigawatts in the first quarter, but challenges remain. This is what the report went on to say. This particular report is authored by Robert Walton. He's with the Team Wet Dog at Utility Dive. That's Utility, D-I-V-E. They are an electronic online information piece on the energy industry. Now, this article went on to, it was dated June 19, 2019, and it went on to say, following a strong quarter for solar, polarvistic installations, Wood Mackenzie Power and Renewables is forecasting a 25% growth in year 2019 compared with 2018, and is expecting more than 13 gigawatts of DC installations this year. The 2.8 gigawatts of solar installed in the first quarter was the most ever installed in a first quarter, according to the analysis. The United States also notched another milestone, hitting a total of 2 million solar installations in the first 3 months of 2019. The largest share of installations came from the utility segment, which installed 1.6 gigawatts to make up 61% of new capacity, which with 4.7 gigawatts of large-scale projects under construction this year, the report concludes utility PV additions will grow 46% over, that was 2018, we're in the middle of 2019. All right. Dive Insights, the United States solar market has the most successful first quarter ever, but analysis by Wood Mackenzie says there are challenges ahead. Despite steady installations in the first quarter, Wood Mackenzie solar analyst Austin Perry, in a statement, said the residential market is still highly reliant on legacy state markets, such as California and the Northeast, which have seen only modest or flat growth over the past several quarters. Looking ahead, Perez said that as those legacy states continue to grow past early adopters, consumer higher costs and consumer acquisitions will challenge the industry to innovate product offers and diversity geographically. However, the residential market saw a 6% growth compared to the first quarter of 2018. Well, hell, this ain't hard to as the little boys say, to disseminate. Now, we're going to read this, and then we're going to give our comments on this thing. 6% growth compared to the first quarter of 2018, 603 megawatts installed in the first quarter, and the report showed 29% of the residential capacity installs came from markets outside the top 10 solar states, the highest share for emerging markets in industry history. There was a decline in the non-residential segment, according to the report, which includes commercial, industrial, and public sector. Distributed solar with 438 megawatts installed in the first quarter of 2019 was down compared to the previous and year-ago quarter. Analysts concluded this was largely due to state-level policy reforms and interconnection delays in historically strong markets, including California, Massachusetts, Minnesota, continue to hamper growth. Now, non-residential installations were down 28% compared to the fourth quarter in 2018 compared to the first quarter 2018. However, analysts also said community solar mandates in New York, Maryland, Indianapolis, and New Jersey will help reinvigorate the segment beginning in 2020. New York's value of distributed energy dockets has bolstered our long-term forecast for both commercial and community solar. The report is concluded adding to the boast of renewable portfolio standard law will grow solar renewable credit markets there to benefit to the entire non-residential segment. Wood McKenzie and SEIA project the total installed solar systems capacity in the United States will more than double over the next 5 years. The firm's expected annual installations will grow at 16.4% through year 2021. This is a growth industry, folks, but it don't mean that our people, young people, are getting jobs in this industry. It don't mean that this industry is spending a damn dime with black-owned media, whether it be electronic media, printed media, online media. If you are trying to get a message to the African-American community about this industry, they don't care if they get it or not. That is the conclusion that I must conclude. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I've looked over. We may not get there together, but one day, I'm not going to have a dream that's going to come and turn into a nightmare on my street for my folk. So what I try to do is just keep it real on this platform, okay? Welcome to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This was the last article. We're going to open up our show for the last 3 or 4 minutes to our listening audience, and you can join us at 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us at 646-668-2948. We have now open lines here on the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, and we'll be reaching out as we normally do to try to get folks to come back on this platform to share more information for you. But right now, we're going to take what we call another pause for the cause here on Solar Now.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, weekly host, Ronald Buffet. And you know we bring this show to you every week over the airways of Blog Talk Radio, streaming over Facebook and Twitter. we have made some promises that we have not kept, but we are truly, truly blessed to be able to know that we will be able to get these things taken care of, which we indicated we would have our GoFundMe page back up, and you'll be able to go online and support this platform. So this is one thing we want to close on this week. We hope that we, boss, definitely brought to you more information that you can definitely use. You know that you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Once again, you can log on to our show at positivechangepc.com. You can click on our, we have a gallery here on our website that we're very, very proud of. We have a video gallery there. We also have our news and events tab. Once you get to our home page, you can click on About Us. You can also, when you click on our galleries, you'll find out we have various galleries there. We have the radio gallery. We have our video gallery. We have a photo gallery. Then we have, as I said, resources, funding, membership. You can how to contact us and our GoFundMe link. So once again, we want to thank you once again for joining us on this show, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you?
Sing it. You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.